The Bob Rivers Show on 95.7 KJR.
Here I was at the immigration scene, shining and feeling clean. Could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man.
Graham Nash, twice inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he's going to be talking about CSNY 1974, a boxed set from their... That was 1974, Joe?
You bet. Totally remastered and recaptured.
That's like the best version of that song I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. There were some gems on that tour. There were some disasters, too. That was a...
Let's play a disaster.
I don't know if they
Do they have a disaster section of the double album?
I don't know if they saved any of the disasters, but that tour was... we're talking to Graham Nash because I think he's the one that will remember that tour of the four. That was the
You mean he got the least high of all of them?
Yes.
There's a whole side called Wake Up, Dave. That's a tough thing to get through.
Wake Up Dave?
Yeah.
You mean like Cheech and Chong? Dave. Dave's not here.
Yeah.
He's not awake.
That was almost the peak of Crosby's and Steve Stills to a point, I think, of their...
So what were they doing? Heroin?
No, I think they were just...
Oh, come on. It had to be heroin.
You know,
you don't like to think of... I don't like to think of stars doing heroin, but it had
I think
to be.
That was more of booze and
psychedelic
kind of thing.
Oh, I don't like
to
think of the psychedelics either. What kind of psychedelics were they doing?
We can ask Graham, but I imagine any they could get their hands on.
Do you think he's comfortable talking
peyote,
about that?
Peyote, mescaline. I don't see why he wouldn't be.
After this many years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. They obviously are still in great form.
Well, some people after that many years, they don't like to bring up, you know, that past. They're like, I hope you forget it. In the interviews, let's talk about my inductions and things like that.
And I don't think Graham Nash was ever a drug user at all.
Was he like the only guy who didn't party?
Yeah, I mean, he might have a glass of wine now and then, but he's never had a history of
substance interesting how
abuse.
I can interview you instead of him and you can just answer for him.
Yeah.
I might have had a glass of wine now and then, but no, I don't think I was. Well, let me ask you, let me just practice the interview on you.
Well, based on my knowledge of the band.
How many girls did you
have? If you were going to rank drug abusers, you put Crosby on top, Stills second, Young third, and Graham fourth. And I don't think Young or Stills or Young or Nash ever had any serious issues with substance
abuse. Have you ever been around a lot of people who are wasted all the time and you're not?
Like, depends on your definition of wasted, because my definition of wasted now is when my wife has half a glass of wine.
Well, then I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, don't talk to me.
I mean, like, really drunk, annoying people, and you're stone sober. Can you imagine what this guy had to go through, being on tour with these guys, and you're just having a glass of wine every once in a while? How annoying must they have all been?
Yeah, you would think. I know that.
Intolerable.
It does weird me out when someone's wasted now, and I kind of don't even look at them like they're awake. I go, "Oh, I'll see you again some other day when
when
you're you again."
Yeah.
But I don't judge. I don't get too judgmental unless stuff starts happening that they're gonna regret, and then I feel bad for them.
Yeah. Well, that's fair.
But most of the time, I just figure people are partying. It's like being asleep.
But if you were on tour and everyone who was around you all the time was just loaded to the hilt and you were not.
I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. When you're one of four names on the bill in the band and you're the only guy that can drive the bus home.
Right. But I could do it if I was young and, you know, all I cared about was being a rock star. I would just assume, as many of them did probably, that it was normal, that this is what you did. You know, it's what the Aerosmith guys did. It's what it was just a normal part of being a rock star to a lot of rock stars.
Yeah, but you assume that, like, everyone's partying.
Mm.
I guess I just assume.
Roger Daltrey was notoriously straight and narrow with The Who. And
he was even when they were partying.
Keith Moon and Pete Townsend were Hall of Fame record.
Not to mention Ox, right?
Well, Ox was a pretty solid citizen. He didn't.
Didn't he die in Vegas?
He died
in a stripper's arms. I heard. I don't know.
Yeah.
Joe, you're Ox. How did you die?
He died. Yeah, at the Hard Rock.
No. Answer as Ox, because I think you could be any of these rock stars. You know enough about it. You're
like
the Casey Kasem.
I don't do the accent, but I can tell you exactly how he died.
I like it in your accent.
Well, he died at the Hard.
I died.
The Hard Rock Hotel.
I died at a Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And what were you doing at that time?
He was snorting coke with a stripper.
Yeah, they had to pry the crack of his nose out of the cracker.
And the week after he died, the first show The Who played without the Ox, I saw, and that was at the Gorge. Many people did see that. Pino Palladino came and played bass.
Yeah, I remember that.
Was that a week later?
Yes. Oh. It was the same week, actually. It was, I believe, a Saturday night, and the Ox died on like a Tuesday or something. It was a quick turnaround. They got him in the deep freeze there in Vegas at the coroner's, and they called Pino, and the rest was history.
Do you think Pino was, like, I don't want to say expecting it, but do you think that Pino was, like, learning the whole show, looking at video of the show, making sure he was ready to step in at a moment's notice?
It was almost like that he was touched from the hand above, because I thought it was a truly inspired playing that the guy did.
It's almost like he bought Ox the tickets to Vegas.
Oh, man, that hurt.
Go and have fun.
Wow.
You guys have fun, yeah.
Have a good time.
Well,
here's Trixie. Give her a call. Tell her I said to give you a special treatment.
Ask her for the Pino special.
I think everything they played was at least 25 years old that night, so it's probably stuff he'd heard before. Yeah. And was
you know, great players know songs so well,
right?
They can stand on stage and ace them.
It's like when Evan Shealy plays with Spike and the Impalers. You're not going to miss a note. Those
Evan
are all
doesn't.
Songs.
You would think you'd have to rehearse a long time, but no,
he knows those songs.
And like, hey, Lizzie Daymont got on stage in North Bend because Evan wasn't around. Would she play like five songs?
Yeah, she rocked the house out, man.
I had never seen her play bass because she doesn't play bass with us. And I know she plays bass and sway. She got up on stage. She banged the songs out. Had never been on stage with the band before, ever. And did you notice the difference?
It was a lot better. Yeah.
She looks better from the behind than really Evan Shealy. Yeah, but not. I don't mean that.
Oh, she's a phenomenal player, man.
I didn't even say that. No. What kind of lowbrow would think that?
No, that'd be terrible.
That'd be terrible. So a great player can step in, but rock and roll party. Graham Nash. This box set includes 40 tracks, 188-page booklet. How many pages do you have to have before you could call it a book? That's a large booklet.
Yeah, you'd think
it would
you
be
could
a small
leave,
book.
You could leave Let off that. I guess 200 must make it a book or something.
I don't know. Hey, Eric, what's the rule for a book versus a booklet?
Oh, well, it becomes a book, I'd say, at about 70 pages.
Because this is a 188-page booklet.
I've read books that are shorter than that. No.
Maybe it's because it's mostly photographs and little blurbs, and that's not quite a book in their mind.
Maybe it's the age level, the grade level it's written at, too. I don't know. Anyway, as that'll be enjoying. If the rest of the recordings are anything like Immigration Man...
We have the entire album.
It's great, yeah.
All right, let's play one more song, something short.
Just checking. Okay, what about this one? I don't know, Jeff, is this okay? Do we play it on the air? Goodbye, Dick.
Goodbye, Dick.
Oh, this was for
Nixon.
Is
this an ode to me?
This was
Goodbye, Bob.
That's why Graham's coming on. Oh, yeah. Man.
Is that my new name after I'm gone?
I believe this was the week Richard Nixon resigned. I think.
Oh, wow.
This was a quick one.
This will be a historical reference to Richard Nixon. Goodbye, Dick.
Let me see, because they sent us a file. Okay.
Goodbye, Dick. Goodbye, Jim. I really can't believe you're gone, but I saw you walk across the White House lawn. Goodbye, Jim. Goodbye, Jim. Goodbye, Rosemary. Goodbye, Rosemary. I saw you take your typewriter out that White House door. I don't want to see you type here anymore. Goodbye, Rosemary. Goodbye, Rosemary. Yeah, this is a little tune. One of the short tunes.
And not one of their biggest hits.
I think it's the first and only time that one got played.
Now, they were politically active. They hated Dick Nixon. Very liberal, I guess. I don't know if that word meant the same then that it does now.
And by 1974, most people didn't care for Richard Nixon.
Yeah, he was on the outs.
Mm-hmm.
Although there had to still be a core, you know,
there's probably still somebody out there who says, yeah, that was the best president we ever had.
You know, he did some good things as president.
He broke down the Great Wall of China.
I know.
He was the first guy who went over there and started normalizing relations with the Chinese.
I think every president has some bad things that happen during their term and some good things. All right, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, 1974. Is it out, Pedro, or just coming out?
Is coming out.
Out tomorrow, I believe.
Okay. We'll have Graham Nash today. Also on the show today, we're going to say hi to BJ Shea. I guess we're going to be... Who set this up, by the way? Does the boss know about it? Is it okay? Or are we just plowing ahead, doing whatever the hell
we're
we want?
We're just plowing ahead, doing whatever we
okay.
want.
Okay.
What are they going to do?
Well, fire me. But I mean, last week... it's funny. I'm a big fan of Keith, our VP of programming. And Kent, also. Who's I don't see him that much, but I like him, and they've been very kind to us to allow us to basically have a free for all for the last 2 weeks of the program. And then last week at one point I was talking about all the different how radio folks are kind of brothers in this city, and brothers and sisters, but not many sisters for some reason.
We're around.
There's a few girls.
Yeah, we're like roaches.
But I think the girls in this market are treated like equals as opposed to other markets. There's not a lot of giggling sidekicks. This is not a giggling sidekick City. Do you know what I mean? You got your Rachel Bell over there. She's very well respected, I think. You got a lot of gals who've retired. Heck, Robin Erickson was the strong host of a show with Maynard, right?
Oh yeah.
And anyway, so we were talking about a bunch of radio guys, and I think the boss only heard me talking about other stations, and not all the funnin' and kidding I was giving to Mitch Levy next door, and of course Bender. And he said, "Well, I heard you talking about a lot of other stations." So I could hear the passive aggressive subtext, or you do whatever you want. I heard you talking about a lot of other stations. Uh-huh. So that this probably won't go over well.
Oh, I think it'll go over well. We can talk to Bender and Mitch Levy if we want to. You've already said nice things about
them. Well, I like them, but they haven't come in.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always, even though I said we all get along, there's always we're all competitors, too.
Right.
So it's sort of like, I always weird out when I see when you're watching a team that you love play a team that you hate on sports, and players that are like super arch rivals that try to kill each other on the field. And then after the game's over, the winner and loser go by and they shake hands. Sometimes they even give each other a hug.
Man, they get together, drop a knee, and pray together.
I know. Doesn't that make you feel a little weird?
You know, no. I think
as a fan, because you just watch them battle it out with each other?
Not weird. It kind of, for me, it kind of reassures
humanity.
That these are great people.
Yeah.
These are great guys. And some of these people aren't great people, and those guys aren't really included in the prayer circles and aren't really greeted warmly after
the
game.
Who prays together, by the way? Which players are you talking about?
Every team gets together. Every game you go to any game.
No, wait a minute. Give me a specific player that sat down and prayed next to another player.
Russell Wilson, every game.
At the end of every NFL game, there is a circle out on the field that both teams, and there will be a dozen players from each team, they'll all get down on their knees and they'll have a group prayer. Every
single
NFL game, yeah.
Oh, well, that's forced.
No,
I don't count
people
forced
sign their
prayer.
Sheets at the end of the meeting.
It's voluntary. I mean, the majority of players still walk off into the locker room.
Richard Sherman have like the crab trees over for Thanksgiving?
That one doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, some guys aren't.
If
aren't
you found
deserving.
Out, by the way, that the two of them were high fiving each other for how much great publicity they got out of this, would that make you feel weird?
It would. I like even whether he's abrasive or endearing, I want him to be genuine. Who, you know, I'm saying any player, I want him to be the real deal out there. He can be a total D-bag, but if that's really who he is, okay. All right. I got no problem with that.
So we'll say hi to BJ Shea. He's going to be very nice, of course. The story of BJ Shea is that he wanted to work in this town. He was a sidekick on another show in Rochester, and I became super good friends with him. It's got to be over 20 years ago now, maybe 22, 23 years ago. And he sent his tape over to Cairo, and they threw it in the trash. And I think at the time, the assistant program director was Eric Corman, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And I said, well, what about BJ and his tape? And what's the name of the lady who was running it?
Oh, that was Chris Olinger.
Yeah, big talk programmer, Chris was. I think she had come from Denver.
Yeah, KOA in Denver.
Yeah, she's a big major market programmer. And she had thrown BJ's tape in the trash. And was it you that told me that?
Yeah, I did. Well, you said you got to listen to my friend BJ. And I gave the tape a listen, and it was awful.
Oh, you threw it in the trash?
Yes.
It never even got to Chris Olinger.
No, I did it.
Oh, wow, that's funny. And so I can't, you know, who remembers the exact thing they said 23 years ago? But I said, well, listen, he's really a special guy. You should take it out of the trash. And, you know, you're not going to like his tape because he was on some radio station he hated, teamed up with a host that he hated.
He was in Phoenix on like a middle of the road kind of station or something.
So I said, you got to take it out, listen again. But really what you got to do is you got to have him audition on the air live. And they did that. And the rest is history. So anyway, you know what it is also? All of the other shows, let's be honest, none of these people like me. They just want pieces of my audience. like buzzards they all are. BJ's no better than the rest of them.
Well, what time are we throwing the meat out to BJ? 7:15?
So they're like,
I gotta be honest, I felt it like that. I felt
did you
like
feel
they're
like
just,
that?
Oh, like
they're like carrion fowl.
Well, let's say goodbye to a dear friend who's hanging it up. And by the way, people who love this dear friend hanging it up will be here every morning, but he's not.
Now, BJ's a little different. But, I mean, I would be the same if one of them was going and I was going to, like, keep feeding. By the way, I hope your audience don't feel bad as I relate you to stuff that birds feed on. But, I mean, we all are competitive. Everybody wants an audience. Anyway, BJ's going to say nice things. I'm going to say nice things.
Well, this will be our third simulcast, right? I wonder how many more to go, because you got King 5 for the announcement. Casey came by with her news crew, and now you got BJ.
Yeah, I don't know who else is. Oh, Pat O'Day's coming, but he just wants more people to get sober, and I'm all behind
that. Yeah, Pat's just coming to.
And also, but I should say this, because I've always been a very loyal company guy. First off, I consider that anytime you have a job, no matter what the job is, the person who signs your paycheck, the board of directors, the suite owner, whatever it is, the people who've put the faith in you to hire you deserve your respect. Just because. Because no, having a job is never a guarantee in life. And so, like, it's weird, but I think that Clear Channel has been great to us. And that allowing us to have 2 weeks to say goodbye and to do the show is a classy thing. It doesn't always happen. They say the same about us. They say, well, we trust you guys to, like, not get mad or anything like that. Why would I be mad? I'm leaving of my own volition. And actually, a lot of morning show hosts are just generally angry at everything anyway.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So, lack of sleep for a lifetime.
You know, that does get to me sometimes. But anyway, so I said, well, I would like to, you know, the more I talk to people about, oh, when you're off the air, what am I going to listen to? I always ask them, what's your second choice? And one of the things I get most often, everybody gets mentioned, by the way, you know, because we have a diverse audience that comes from everywhere. But Mitch Levy gets mentioned a lot.
Probably the most.
Yeah. They go, well, but they don't say it in a flattering. They go, well, now I'm going to have to listen to sports. Like, almost like sports is, I don't know, like
mandatory?
Not your first choice.
Well, sports listening is really seasonal. And the good news for people who, you know, aren't going to be with us or have us is Seahawks are starting. It's going to be very interesting to listen to sports radio for the next few months.
That's true.
Last few months, maybe not so interesting, but once the Seahawks.
So you move in and out like the tides.
Right.
With the seasons of the teams you care about.
It's a very seasonable kind of listening. Even myself, who is a big sports fan, I will listen to sports radio much more during football season than I would in January, January's still football season around here lately, but, you know, February or March, there's not much going on I want to hear about. But.
Yeah. So anyway, Mitch Levy and I, just so you know, have got along really well off the air. On the air, we kind of kid each other, because I don't really care that much about sports. Heck, I kid Spike and Joe about that. But off the air, you know, we have lunch and we talk, not often, every 4 to 6 months or something.
Right.
And I like the guy, but I don't know that much about him. I know he's married.
He's married.
He never socialized with his wife.
His wife.
Do you know her name?
His wife's wonderful.
She's wonderful, and you don't know her name, do you?
Don't know her name. I know.
She's wonderful.
Things are hard. Everybody
I think you
has
would at least
one.
Have to know someone's name to call them wonderful.
I know.
They could be okay.
I've only met her twice, so I know his son, Max. I know one of his son's
names. Is his son like pudgy and can't play sports? That would be awful.
You suck. His sons are very athletic, and Mitch is actually a very involved dad when it comes to his boys in the sports world.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the time to coach, but I know when you're a dad of...
Well, he's friends with Steve Ballmer, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, they're playing golf this morning.
Today?
Yeah.
It's today.
So is he not on the air this morning?
They're doing the thing, Snoqualmie today. Now, I don't know if it's after his show or not, but Steve Ballmer, Fred Couples, and Rick Neuheisel and Mitch are all playing in a big golf foursome today. But Mitch is a neighbor of mine. He lives over. Over on the east side.
When you have the levees over to you.
Does he live higher up on the hill than you, probably?
He actually lives lower, which is much more prestigious.
He lives in the neighborhood.
Oh, closer to the lake.
Yes.
This was the neighborhood that I went to get my stroller from. And when you drive in there, you hear music in your head. It's like,
Yeah.
He lives in a very nice neighborhood. And that's why.
Is it like Wisteria Lane?
Yes.
Desperate Housewives? Yeah.
Yes. I was like, why are you? Thank you. I was like, why are you asking me for money? Just hand me the stroller.
Just hand me the stroller. You're rich, bitch.
Give me the stroller, bitch. Yeah. It was like the biggest house. And she was like, yeah, you know, whatever. I didn't feel like giving her money was fair, but then again.
Wait a minute. You felt that just because she was wealthy that she should have put it out for free on Craigslist?
No, I was joking.
Okay.
But the neighborhood is unbelievable. I wanted a martini.
Okay. So anyway, he's been on the air for how long? 20-something years,
I think 19 in the mornings, and I think he was on a little before that even here. So he's been on a long time.
So Mitch Levy, at some point he should come on this week if he wants to.
He didn't request that.
He didn't request it.
Nope. By the way, in a way,
that's classy of him because Mitch would not want to appear to need anybody's help. That's
talking about that on Wednesday, we're going to have Dory Monson in the studio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's in the visiting. Studio?
Yeah. Really?
He's coming in.
Oh, my God.
So, well, Dory's smart to go after listeners. I don't blame anybody, but I also think that Mitch is playing it cool. Mitch is playing it like, whatever, I don't need his listeners. What's that?
I think Bender is playing it cooler because he invited you to his show.
Oh, that's very nice, too. Now, Bender is with that gal who was on The Bachelor.
Molly is her name.
Molly, and I see her in the hallway all the time. She's very nice.
She's always smiling.
She's got a nice temperament, too. How is she on the air? Have you heard her?
She's like a Cocker Spaniel with a nice temperament.
She's so good.
Oh, come on.
Look
at you. Give me one.
No, that was a shot at you.
I see.
I believe she has a nice disposition for a lady.
Oh, shot at me. Well, that's not fair because I haven't had a chance to get to know her.
She does have a nice temperament. I smelled her butt. It's good. She's healthy.
Okay, thank you. Like a Cocker Spaniel. But... anyway, I'm just being nice to everybody.
You shouldn't go down there. He should come in here. I don't mean to start getting like a girl.
Yeah, well, go ahead, because I don't know what the rules are.
You don't
are.
Go down there. If he wants to talk to you, he can come in here.
Like, people could be dissing me and making fun of me, and I wouldn't even notice.
It's not a diss.
I'm so
just
naive.
Like, if he wants to pay some respects, he can come in here. You don't go down there to pay respects.
You know, I like when the subject just lays there and doesn't have to do anything.
That's what I'm talking
about. She's saying. They don't trot the body from house to house to house.
It's like,
I see.
On Thursday, we got my friend some Lucinda Williams tickets for the zoo, and she was sitting all the way across the thing, and she was like, oh, come over here. I want to thank you for the tickets. I was like, no. If
you
want to thank me for the tickets, you walk your ass around the carousel and come over here.
Uh-huh. Right. So anyway, but that's what's up this week. There'll be a lot of nice people and thank yous. And I admire anybody who does this for a living. I got to be honest with you. 6:35. Yesterday, a couple of bad things happened. The day before, a good thing happened. Saturday night was the Stanwood Community Fair, the Camino Island Fair. I had no idea what a monstrous fair that was. I thought it was going to be, your usual community fair with a couple of fried dough booths and some fast food and a couple of local businesses. I didn't know it was like the Puyallup Fair. I didn't know they had animals, displays, massive carnival rides. It's apparently one of the largest community fairs, period. It might be the largest in the state. And the people there were incredible. And I couldn't believe the size of the crowd and how much fun we had. I almost made a joke on stage, but I didn't.
Okay. Probably better that you didn't.
I was going to say, because I want to do it here quietly. I didn't want to do it on stage. I was actually subconscious.
Brilliant planning you've done.
Well, because it's Camino Island, and, you know, that's where the Barefoot Bandit came from. Okay. And I thought that I would say, my plane is parked out back, and I left the keys in it. Would somebody go grab them for me?
You elected not to.
You chose wisely.
Yeah. But I did talk to a few people about how good it is that they can relax a little, how crazy that time was for them. And I, God, they had, oh, I'm so glad I didn't eat this. But they had the coolest things you have at a fair these days.
Fried butter?
Almost. The onion strings that comes on a plate this high.
Oh, yeah, yeah, brick, yeah.
A brick of onion strings and also a brick of fries. I mean, if anybody could eat, it's a mound of fries.
Yeah.
Like
hand cut.
Oh, and I saw someone sitting in the audience ready to eat that. And I thought, oh, I want. And that's, by the way, to me, that's what all of life is about. Is me want, no, I think I'll pass for now. Like, that's the biggest lesson you can have in life. And then you have this whatever primal desire it is. Me want. Yes, looks good, smells good, feels good. Not now. And if you take life's two worst things, which are greed and procrastination, and you combine them, and you procrastinate your greed.
That's good.
Everything balances
out.
Yeah. Oh, I've been thinking all kinds of philosophy this week. It's my last chance to tell people what I think about stuff. I have all these notes because I've been beekeeping and picking blueberries. And while I'm working, I'll think of something. I'll go, oh, I should tell the audience that. Because, you know, part of it is because I think it'll be my last chance to tell you. But also part of it is because I want to make sure you're good and sick of me so you don't miss me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because people are always like, oh, shut up, Bob.
With your deathbed wisdom.
With all of your wisdom.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're going to be sick of me by Friday.
If you want to turn some people off, we could talk beekeeping, because I noticed you had a really serious problem there with the beekeeping.
I posted it on Facebook. Pedro, you put that picture out last night, right?
Yep.
I had mentioned that I'm not a very good beekeeper, and there's beekeepers that are constantly on top of their hives, doing everything they can to make the hive's survival more likely. They have organized hives. They know where the brood is at all times. They know whether the queen is laying. They know if the queen's stressed to replace the queen. You know, people that are really on top of beekeeping. And I have been a promoter of beekeeping because it's very Pacific Northwesty. It's good. It's good for the environment. It's good for your soul. And even if you don't beekeep, if you support the idea for other people and you buy local honey, they say that it has medicinal properties. They say that the honey, because it contains all of the essence of the flowers that are in your area, it's like eating local. It's
like an allergy resistant thing, right?
Yes. And I don't know. I personally don't know if it's magical, but it's fun to believe that it is. And also, the weird thing about honey compared to other kinds of sugar, like if I go out and get a candy bar, I just watch behavior. If I go out and get a candy bar, it makes me want more candy. I have a sugar high, a crash, and I eat more. And then it's almost like the junk wagon is open, and I will then just eat tons of junk. Cookies, I had candy, I might as well have cookie. Right. And then I just keep going and going and going, and that's what happens to me. But if I have a tablespoon of honey, I go, I feel almost like Homer Simpson, you know, sweet, natural, delicious, good, goodness, or however he would say that. You know what I'm talking about?
It's a candy blocker.
Well, and it doesn't, but then I don't go, must eat whole jar of honey. For some reason, it doesn't have the addictive properties. Yeah.
You got to be stoned to do that, to really just start at the top and not stop to hit the bottom.
Give me a gallon, 100 gallon of honey.
Perhaps I should try the non-medicinal form of recreation you guys are into.
Yeah, totally.
But I mean, it doesn't have, like, I just look at behavior and it doesn't make me do that. So it's like a little bit of natural goodness. And I don't know why, but I theorize that in the evolution of man, when you got honey, it was usually followed by venom and getting stung a lot. So you don't go back to the hive.
Set up camp in the tree there and get your ass
right.
stung.
You in the evolution of man, when it. You got milk duds, you went back and you got raisinettes. And so I look at addictive behaviors because it's something that's always been fascinating to me, my own or others. So yesterday I was beekeeping, and I had neglected the hives for about a month. And I'm taking apart this hive, and it needs a lot of work because the beekeepers will know what I mean. Some of the brood had gotten up into the queen had gotten into a honey super, and so there was a couple of frames that had some brood, which is, you know, larvae, young bees hatching and things like that, next to the honey, and you don't want that. So I had to swap out frames and put them down lower, which means that I'm really digging this hive apart. And I had my bee suit on. You don't do this stuff without a bee suit. Unless you're the real bee whisperer, because they are coming to get you. But I've been doing it. Remember when I first started beekeeping, I was scared to death of them. And I didn't get stung for like a year and a half. And we got me stung on the air just to make sure I wasn't allergic.
That was the first time we thought we'd have to move on with that.
Yeah. Well, long story short, I started getting stung. Because there were some holes in my suit. Every once in a while, the hive tool will nick at your suit, and there might be a little tear. There were a couple of holes in my long glove protector, and bees, like, found the hole and started marching down my arm towards my hand. And I got stung, and I went, ow, oh, bee must have got in there. And then I just ignored it, and I got stung again and again and again. That's like five or six of the bee stings.
And the bee only stings once, right?
Yeah, so there were a bunch of bees in there.
Right.
And I remember thinking, well, I'll just keep working because it's only a few stings. And after you've been beekeeping a while, a couple of stings here or there, it's just a normal course of doing business. In fact, it almost feels like you're a wuss beekeeper if you don't get stung a little.
Gotta get it once. You gotta pop it.
Well, you have to. It's a manly, it's a dominating kind of thing. I don't know. There are women beekeepers too. I assume they like to get stung as much as the guys. So but afterwards, I took off my glove, and I pulled out all the stingers. And I thought, I haven't been stung that much on the hand in a while. Then I completely forgot about it. For 3-4 hours. And we were invited to dinner at Tammy and Bill's house. And they, because we're talking about this hike-a-thon, which is a whole other trouble. I got a bad knee. You're going to hate me by the end of this week. You're going to be so glad I'm gone. I had a bad knee, and I got to see the surgeon today. And so I signed up to raise money for the Washington Trails Association. Only you're supposed to pledge money for how much I hike, and I can't hike.
Can we pledge money whether you're sitting there?
I'm working on that today. I'll have an announcement tomorrow. But all of a sudden, as I got to dinner, my hand started swelling up to, I don't know, 1.5 to twice the size.
Oh, yeah. That's a fat hand.
And it's still swollen up the next day. And it's kind of cool, actually. What's that movie where that actor all swelled up? There's a movie, a comedy.
Oh, you're talking about Martin Short and
yes.
Danny Glover, I think, was in that movie as well.
Oh, I can't remember the name of the movie.
Dumb Luck or something like that.
But I'm looking at my hand and I'm thinking, yeah. Oh my God, it's like Martin Short in that movie. And then I was saying, well, wait a minute, should I be worried? Because I've never swollen up like that before. And Tammy said, take some antihistamine.
Yeah.
Which, you know me, I don't do anything, so I get high and at the slightest...
Did you take a Benadryl and smash everything in her living room?
Well, what I did is...
F you!
She buys the Kroger antihistamine, generic antihistamine.
Of course she does.
And she said, oh, that stuff, I can't do that. I only take like an eighth of a tablet. And I said, well... I'm an old druggie from way back. If I'm going to take antihistamine, let me read what a 12-year-old takes.
Yeah.
And it says if you're 12 years old, you can have 2 tablets. So I figure I'm at least 12 mentally. I took 2.
Passed out.
I had no trouble going to sleep. But also my brain and speaking didn't work very well.
Yeah.
I was saying things backwards. I was pretty looped, actually. We kept our conversation going, but I was really glad it was a low pressure conversation. In fact, I imagined that I was on the air and that you were all like just picking at me.
Oh, perfect.
And it would have been fun. Or that I had to play the piano, which would be even worse.
That's where I was wondering.
Yeah.
We got a gig Saturday.
Yes.
You're going to be a...
If the swelling doesn't go down by Saturday, then I will be in the medical journals as an amazing case of a weird kind of B reaction. So we'll let you know.
Does it hurt?
It feels good. It's warm and swollen. It's warm to the touch.
Feels good like an infection.
Infections do feel good, don't they?
Feels good.
Why?
No, it shouldn't.
They don't. Ding dong. How many of those pills did you take this morning?
Oh, I didn't. Okay. I couldn't tell.
Okay,
I'm speaking to you, right?
Infections don't feel good.
Mm.
Warm
is that
and
an, that's not fine. An infection. What is it? It's a reaction.
It's a reaction, yeah.
It's inflammation.
Yeah.
Seems like a long time.
It does. And I was reading about delayed reactions to bee stings, and it happens. But I also read about the bad reactions, the severe reactions. And what makes them bad is they happen away from the site of the stings.
Yeah.
So I don't have that.
Yeah. I would say to ice it, but it seems a little late. So just sit there with your weird big hand.
I iced it for hours. I just have the big fat hand. Yeah. Here, I'll hold it up for the TV cameras. Our interns can focus
puffy,
on
it. It's puffy, no question about it.
And this
it.
Is the normal size of the hand.
Oh, I like that normal one.
The normal one looks
normal. That's a good-looking hand, yeah. Texter says, someone slip Bob some Benadryl now.
Really?
Oh, believe me, you think you want that.
And the movie with Martin Short was Pure Luck.
Pure Luck, right. That's not right. Dumb Luck. Pure Luck.
All right, 6:48. So on the show today, we'll say hi to BJ. I'm hoping that Mitch Levy... By the way, the only reason Mitch hasn't been around is because he's been extremely busy. I think he did a... Wasn't he doing the show remote last week from somewhere?
Or with VMAC, yeah, you bet.
Right. Pretty and amazing. So yeah. We actually haven't had a chance to run into each other. But he is the greatest talk sports host in the market, and I'm a huge fan of his.
He may have some competition, though. I heard a good one on Friday. Actually.
What'd you hear?
A guy out at the VMAC Friday afternoon.
Oh, I heard that guy, too.
He was
really good.
Surprisingly good.
Very exciting.
Spike O'Neill. He went out to Seahawks camp on Friday afternoon with Brian Ackbird, and those guys are got a good thing going there.
Right. Now, I heard rumors you might go to sports radio. Is there any truth in that?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. They've made some overtures that they'd like to find a way to keep us around and see what we can do for them and how we can help better drive the Clear Channel bus down the road toward that cliff, maybe veer away from that
You're
cliff
excellent
and keep going
driving
down that road.
The bus towards the cliff.
I am. Sure am.
All right. Also on the show, a dead legend has been evicted from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is a sad story. What did he do to deserve it?
Well, I think it's a couple things. Number one, they need to make room for other exhibits.
Oh, what? Baloney.
And there's a Beyonce exhibit that they're putting in.
Yeah.
At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, yeah. We're talking about?
Do you have a problem with Beyonce being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because Donna Summer's in there. And...
I know. I got a problem with that, too. But that's just me.
Beyonce's.
All right.
Amazing.
Who's been evicted? How do you get evicted from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Also, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, what is the best-selling copyrighted book of all time? Now, the Bible is not copyrighted, right?
So right. It's public domain.
Is that the best-selling book of all time that's not copyrighted?
I believe it is, yes.
Yeah. But what's the best-selling copyrighted book of all time? Any ideas?
We could give a prize for this too if you wanted, because we've got a lot to give away today.
We'll do it on the text 52309. Best-selling copyrighted, of course. You can Google it if you want.
Yeah, I would guess it's one of the works of Shakespeare, maybe.
I think that's all public domain.
How is it?
I don't know if Shakespeare's copyrighted. Do you know a lot of the guys back then wrote their great works of literature before copywriting took place?
Oh, well, him is him, surely.
The 12 Days of Christmas was not copyrighted, which is one of the reasons I did it as a very first parody.
Hmm.
Afterwards, I did copyrighted songs because I was lonely and I wanted lawyers to call me and say hi.
Hello.
Are you getting back to that? What are you doing next week?
Uh-huh. 6:52. Also coming up, wow, there's some weird stuff in the news. somebody smoked somebody's ashes.
And I apologize, but the family's very mad. embarrassing.
And we'll get to that. Also, later on in the week, Niels Lofgren will be on. Be tuned in for that. And Mike Gaston in person on Wednesday. And on Thursday, I'm very excited. My last gardening segment ever with Cisco Morris in person to answer your gardening questions.
This is the Bob Rivers Show on 95.7 KJR.
This report is brought to you by Papa Murphy's.
Good morning from the Western Washington Honda Dealers Traffic Center. We got quite a bit of sun glare out there, so make sure you pack your sunglasses today. Leave plenty of room between you and the cars ahead of you. Good news is that we don't have any blocking incidents right now. We just have some slow traffic northbound 405 through the S-curves up towards the Kennedale Hill. Southbound 405 backed up from 527 all the way into Kirkland, and northbound I-5 slow at the Michigan Curve.
Here are two reasons why you should love Tuesdays. It's not Monday, and it's $10 Tuesdays at Papa Murphy's. Any large pizza, just 10 bucks. Create your own with handmade dough, veggies, sliced by hand, and butcher quality meats. Papa Murphy's Take and Bake Pizza. Love at 425 degrees.
Time's running out to triple your choices at Sleep Number USA. The triple choice sale is on now, but it will end this Sunday. All great things come to an end, don't they, people? Three great ways to save, all ending on Sunday. Choice number one. Save up to $300 on Sealy Posturepedic and Simmons Beautyrest mattress sets. Choice number two, get 48 months interest-free financing with no money down on the Tempur-Choice collection. Or you can take choice number three, get $300 in free gifts with any of Sleep Country's most popular Tempur-Pedic mattresses. That's right, you can choose any combination of sheets, pillows, mattress protection, and more, a $300 value, all absolutely free. Sleep Country has over 80 stores in the Puget Sound area. They are all employee-owned, which means when you walk in, you're dealing with the owner and you're treated like you deserve to be treated. All of their models are on display in all their showrooms, and they invite you to come in and take the time, take a rest test, find the bed that's right for you. You can be sleeping on it tonight if you're in by 2 o'clock this afternoon. Guaranteed best price, guaranteed best night's sleep, and the triple choice sale on now at Sleep Country USA. Why buy a mattress anywhere else?
Another warm summer day around western Washington with high temperatures in the 80s. Skies will stay generally clear through the next several days all the way through the weekend with slightly cooler temperatures occurring each day. I'm Keisha Burns in the King 5 Weather Center.
This report is brought to you by Albert Lee Appliance. Celebrate summer with Albert Lee Appliance during their Seafair sale August 9th and 10th. Sizzling store-wide deals on the largest major brand selection in the Northwest. Sale pricing celebrated at all five locations. Albert Lee Appliance celebrating 75 years strong.
Ah, this is nonsense.
What? I thought you liked my meatloaf.
No, that's not it. I should have switched to ShareBuilder because I'm tired of my current online brokerage's high fees, confusing website, and InvestoBabble.
InvestoBabble.
Really, Jim? Maybe you should switch to ShareBuilder.
Switch to ShareBuilder by Capital One. We clear the clutter, cut the jargon, and keep trade prices low so you can feel confident when making your investing decisions. Visit ShareBuilder.com/invest today.
Securities products are offered by Capital One ShareBuilder, Inc., a registered broker-dealer and member FINRA SIPC.
Hi, I'm Bruce Brandler, CEO of Schickshadel Hospital. After running hospitals and healthcare organizations for 30 years, I came to Schick a year ago, and I'm incredibly impressed with its remarkable program. I would often hear the Schickshadel ads, and I was a skeptic that it couldn't work in only 10 days. Now, I'm a firm believer that it indeed works to stop cravings and give patients their lives back. Schick is very different than the traditional program for alcohol and drugs that uses talk therapy, and every day I talk with patients who've come to us after failing those programs. Instead, we use a powerful behavior modification medical program that has been successful with over 65,000 patients. How successful are we? Former patients are a top referral source for us, and that would not be the case if we were ineffective. Financing is available, and we accept most insurance. So if you're serious about your recovery, I urge you to call us now at 1-800-CRAVING or see us online at schickshadel.com. In 10 days, we'll give you back your life.
Northwest fashions are a fickle thing, especially when it comes to facial hair. This is the story of a 5 o'clock shadow. 5 years later.
PEMCO Insurance presents Northwest Profile Number 37. Whiskers of Wonder Guy.
With a face graced by abnormally productive follicles, his destiny as creative coiffer was written at puberty. Now he sculpts, he waxes, he twists, he curls. He's a true master of the hirsute arts. A walking, talking magnum opus. A man so committed to his facial topiary that he even has ZZ topped. Whiskers of Wonder, Guy, you're one of us. And you deserve an insurance company that'll see you through the hairiest of situations. One ranked by J.D. Power for highest customer satisfaction among auto insurers in the Northwest region. 2 years in a row. Call 1-800-GO-PEMCO, see your local PEMCO agent, or visit PEMCO.com. PEMCO, we're a lot like you, a little different. For J.D. Power award information, go to JDPower.com. PEMCO Mutual Insurance Company, Seattle, Washington.
Attention appliance shoppers. Celebrate summer with Albert Lee Appliance during our Seafair sale, August 9th and 10th. Sizzling hot store-wide deals on the largest selection of major brand appliances in the Northwest. Sale pricing celebrated at all five locations in Seattle, South Center, Linwood, Bellevue, and Tacoma. Don't miss out on the largest appliance sale of the summer. The Albert Lee Appliance Seafair sale, August 9th and 10th. Log on to albertleeappliance.com for details. Albert Lee Appliance, celebrating 75 years strong.
Remember when Kelsey Grammer was on that show that took place at a bar? Then on that other show, he played a psychiatrist with a radio show who lived with his dad and a dog, and he won a bunch of Emmy Awards for being awesome? And remember when Martin Lawrence was a stand-up comedian? And then he had his own show where he was always saying, "Damn, Gina!" And then he went off and was in Michael Bay movies with Will Smith, and sometimes he dressed up like a fat mama? Well, this summer, Kelsey Grammer and Martin Lawrence are teaming up to bring their comedy genius to FX and adding a new chapter to the annals of comedy. Yes, we said annals. Partners, tonight at 9 on FX.
What kind of summer do you have planned this year? More importantly, how are you going to pay for it all? Why not bring your coins, gold, silver, and jewelry to the experts at Bellevue Rare Coins for a free evaluation? You might have something right under your nose that could be turned into fun summer cash.
BECU, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways.
Great rates, lots of locations, the credit union network to access ATMs were fantastic.
I just love the app. It is a gift.
And the list goes on, thanks to BECU members like Lee O, Chuck S, and Jennifer K. Because as Washington's leading not-for-profit credit union, we're 100% member-focused. And we show it by investing in all the tools and services that save you time and money. Like easy-to-use online and mobile banking, mobile check deposit, and access to over 30,000 surcharge-free ATMs nationwide. So share the advantages. Discover the BECU difference for yourself at BECU.org. Or visit one of our over 40 neighborhood financial centers throughout the Puget Sound, including two new larger locations in Kent Station next to Red's Wine Bar and in Auburn in the Franciscan Medical Pavilion. BECU is federally insured by the NCUA.
Thank you to Ted Brown Music, official music store of the Carter Subaru Live Theater at 95.7 KJR FM.
Hi, I'm Melissa Sterling, Director of Military Programs at Hilton Worldwide, and we are so proud to join iHeartRadio for the Show Your Stripes campaign to help veterans find jobs. Returning soldiers are some of the most technically skilled men and women in the world, and their global perspective, leadership, and experience align perfectly with Hilton Worldwide. iHeartRadio Show Your Stripes is helping to connect veterans and businesses. Learn how you can get involved at iHeartRadio.com/showyourstripes. Hire smart. Hire vets.
This report is brought to you by Charter College.
Good morning from the Western Washington Honda Dealers Traffic Center. We got quite a bit of sun glare out there, so make sure you pack your sunglasses today. Leave plenty of room between you and the cars ahead of you. Good news is that we don't have any blocking incidents right now. We just have some slow traffic northbound 405 through the S-curves up towards the Kennedale Hill. Southbound 405 backed up from 527 all the way into Kirkland, and northbound I-5 slow at the Michigan Curve.
Attention healthcare professionals. If you have a certificate or college credits, you can earn an associate's degree in just 5 months. The Charter College Allied Health Program is enrolling now. Visit chartercollege.edu for admission requirements.
Listen to the best Bob Rivers shows before it's too late. Then, 10 a.m. August 8th, the new 95.7 takes off. This is 95.7 KJR FM and HD1 Seattle, an iHeart radio station.
People ask, what are the best experiences you've had with real rock stars over the years? And meeting Randy Bachman, no doubt, near the top of the list. Randy, Bachman Turner Overdrive, Randy the Guess Who. Randy showed up one day on our show and was the most unassuming, sweet guy you could ever meet. He pulled out his acoustic guitar and he started singing all of his hits. He truly got that he loved his audience and that that's what they'd want him to do. A lot of rock stars, you know, they don't want to sit there and play their hits. They just want to play like the new album they're trying to sell. And audiences kind of see through that. But no, Randy Bachman played all his hits and then invited him over to the house where he played in my garage for 3 days. Here's one of the songs Randy Bachman recorded with his band.
Taking care of business.
taking care of business. Bachman Turner Overdrive. No, Randy Bachman hanging out with friends. I think we were all singing on that Taking Care of Business chorus. And what happened is he said, well, let's do the overdubs. And so we all did the clap, shup, shup, shup. And then he said the weirdest thing. He asked Lisa, do you have a milk carton? And I thought, milk carton? Randy must like his milk, and he must want to drink a gallon of milk for the next song. No, but what it was is, he said, I want to show you a trick that we learned from George Martin, who made, of course, fame with the Beatles, producing so many Beatles records. And what he had was, when they recorded the song originally, they wanted it to have a driving, pulsating beat. So there's an overdub of someone on a milk carton, just like playing Wipeout on a milk carton. So it's on the top of a, now I can't remember, was it plastic or paper milk carton?
I was thinking it was a jug, but I may be wrong about that.
She's not like just going to pour all that milk down the drain.
No, she didn't.
I know, Lisa.
But she saves milk cartons because we use them for various other things. So we got a milk carton. And Pedro, I don't know if you can jump ahead to that spot in that song, but when the breakdown occurs, I actually mixed it so you could hear the milk carton a little bit. And then when you hear the original on the radio, you'll know that there's a milk carton in there. And I thought that was just the wildest thing. He said George Martin with the Beatles was so creative, he would take ordinary things and add them in as percussion. Here it is.
Taking care of business. Listen. Taking care of business. Every day. Taking care of business. Every way. Taking care of business.
He said, well, that milk carton just drives it along, but he said, and I want you to mix it so you can barely hear it. But actually, I wanted to hear it so I could tell that story someday, so I mixed it a little too loud.
It was paper.
It was a paper?
Yeah.
Paper milk, a half-gallon half-gallon paper milk carton.
And what a blast to have a guy like him hanging out. And Spike was there. I don't know if you were there.
Oh, I was there. I remember the
day. Oh, you had your fishing buddy there.
Yeah, I think actually, Tuck was out there that day with us too. And I remember it so well because Keith was a little boy. Your son Keith, he couldn't have been more than 10 years old or so. And he had a fundraiser going. He was selling candy bars.
Oh, everybody had to buy his candy bar.
Yeah. And everybody did buy a candy bar except Randy. Randy only had Canadian money, and
Keith wouldn't
take
accept it.
Yeah, he wouldn't
take it. That's why Keith's a good businessman today.
And I never seen Randy.
None of that foreign currency.
Yeah, he wanted that candy bar, so I bought Randy Bachman a candy bar.
Amy in Seattle, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
What was the biggest selling copyrighted book of all time?
The Guinness Book of World Records.
The Guinness Book of World Records. Ah. Correct answer.
That's right.
You were first. And by the way, this week we have so many prizes to give away. We have to empty the prize bin by Friday. So we're going to be generous and have a great time. Let's see what Eric has pulled out for you, Amy.
Oh, Amy, I have for you a pair of tickets to see the Bob Rivers Twisted Christmas Show with Spike and the Impalers and comedian Judah Friedlander from 30 Rock at the Snoqualmie Casino December 11th or 12th.
Awesome. That's great.
That is great.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't know about that show.
Yeah, that's all new to me.
All right, Amy, hang on. So who is our comic, by the way? I heard that they just booked her and the tickets are on sale.
Judah Friedlander is not a her. It's a boy.
It's a boy?
Judah Friedlander.
I thought it was a female
comic.
No.
You've met Judah Friedlander
I said, bring
before.
Me a token female comic. Nobody listened to me.
Judah is from 30 Rock.
Oh.
He's the guy who wears the trucker caps with the funny things on them. He is hilarious. He's outlandish.
Okay.
He's a great writer and a great comedian.
Let's find some Judah and play it this morning. So tickets went on sale Saturday for the Snoqualmie Casino, Spike and the Impalers, and Judah Friedlander.
Who you remember because he came in here, and I think his hat said world champion that day, and so we talked about how he was the world champion, and you were like, so you're the world champion. What are you the world champion of?
Yeah.
And he was like, nothing. But we didn't stop talking about it.
Do you see how my
minutes.
Hand is swollen?
Yes.
I don't remember. By the way, I freaked out Madeline, our intern. With
your Mickey Mouse hand?
That's what she called it, a Mickey Mouse hand.
Yeah.
Should I do anything about this?
Well, texters say that you may need some prednisone for that.
Mm.
My dad lived his whole life with that, by the way.
His hand was like Mickey Mouse his whole life?
Yeah. That's not to sidetrack the whole nine yards here.
Did he get something in the war?
My dad was he had polio when he was a young, young boy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does that mean I might be?
No, you're fine. It's not. It's, you know, his hand swole and it never went down his entire life. I have a series of pictures of my dad as a little boy. And I have pictures from age 1 to 6.
So they couldn't get rid of the swelling?
Never could. His whole life. Yeah.
I feel less special now.
One texter is saying that you have something new called Bebola.
Bebola. Thank you, Stacey.
I wasn't going to make that joke, but then I just decided to.
All right. Yeah. If anybody knows, I'd appreciate it. I'm seeing a surgeon today.
For your knee, though.
For my knee. But still, he's a doctor.
You got a guy you can, like, wait, while I'm here, could you look at this, too? Have you got
that kind of
guy?
Of course I'll do that.
That's a great guy.
It's called getting more for your money.
Yep.
And I hope they can work on my knee. So I told you about Ed Troyer, right?
He said he just had a similar knee.
He had knee surgery, a torn meniscus, same thing. Lisa heard him on the radio talking about it. And so she texted me and says, you should go talk to Ed Troyer about his knee. And I'm like, I'm not just going to call everyone who's in the media who has a knee surgery. And so, but that isn't what I said. I said, sure, honey, I'll call him. And I wasn't going to. And then he came up to Spike and the Impalers at Bonnie Lake and said, hey, let me tell you about my knee surgery. So I got to call him.
And on your hand, somebody says, make a paste of meat tenderizer. Apply it to the sting. For sure breaks down that protein in the venom, and your swelling will go down.
Wow.
Meat tenderizer?
Yeah. I don't know if they're talking like Adolf's, I guess.
You know how I tenderize meat?
Yeah.
With a mallet.
I don't want to do that.
Do that to your hand. Soften that up a bit.
Okay. 713, the Guinness Book of World Records, the best-selling copyrighted book of all time. Ashes are in the news twice today. Two stories, very weird ash stories. One, a victim says, burglar smoked my wife's ashes. From Alabama, a Vietnam War vet speaking out to Fox 10 News. A burglar broke into his home and smoked the ashes of his deceased wife. Burglar ransacked my house, tried to break into my gun safe, was unable to. Of course, it's Alabama. You think you're getting into my gun safe?
No, no.
Please. Here it is.
I was furious. That's when I almost lost it. That's what made me want to kill again. Ransacked my house, tried to bring him a gun safe, which they weren't able to. They even took my wife's ashes off my headboard and strode them around like they tried to smoke some of or something. I guess they figured out, you know, this stuff ain't worth smoking, so they threw it up in these one of my toolboxes. Tried it out and see if it was some kind of drugs. I bet that was a nasty taste when they done that, though. That's hard to put in words. It makes me want to fight again. I don't like to fight. I don't know if God will forgive them for what they've done or not.
Wow, the guy sounds just like Dr. John.
They all sound like Dr. John.
I had
John.
The ashes in the right place, but I must have been wrong.
Wrong time.
Put them in my gun safe. Good time. Make me want to kill again. Anybody else notice he said it made me want to... No. Made me want to kill again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Made me want to fight again.
Well, no, earlier. First 5 seconds, I said, it made me want to kill again.
Well, he was a Vietnam vet. Mm-hmm. He was kind of having a little flashback.
It made me not want to ever be a burglar in his area. Because, you're taking your life into your hands. Okay, what's the other ash? Oh. DJ Alan Freed has been evicted from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They sent his ashes back to his family so they could make room for Beyoncé's leotards.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Send his ashes back to his damn family. Beyoncé's leotards are coming in, and we're going to need a lot of space. Because apparently,
they're wide.
No, apparently Beyoncé changes her leotards like 15 times during her shows. A friend of mine was at Safeco and said that she did a lot of outfit changes, but they were all leotards, just one after another. Do you know why she wears so many leotards?
Not sure.
Have you seen her? I would wear nothing but leotards. I'd be sitting
because
here in
she
a
can show
leotard
it off.
Right
she
now.
Can show off what she's got with the leotards.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Wow. But still, Why are they dissing Alan Freed?
Well, because he looks terrible in a leotard.
You're a tool, man.
You're a tool. You're
and they say remains are out of fashion as far as displays in museums go these days.
Okay. 717. Last week, two radio show hosts in the Seattle area, two guys I know, one I know very well, put tributes to our show, to me, actually, although I'll include everybody. Inclusive that way.
So nice.
On their shows, and I haven't had a chance yet to say thank you to BJ Shea. BJ Shea and I go so way back that I actually helped fish his tape out of the trash when he sent it to Seattle, and just believed in the dude, and he's so funny and such a great real guy that he and I became best friends. We have been to this day, and I believe he's on the phone right now, and we might be simulcasting.
We are simulcasting, and boy, that's a very nice intro you gave me. We have no intro for you, but thank you for the intro you gave me.
Well, you guys made a commemorative video. Who's the guy who did that?
Oh, Mono Nick. Yeah, Mono Nick.
Nick, first off, didn't Nick used to live in his car when he was an intern on my show?
Yeah. When you say used to, let's just say that Nick likes living in his car on any radio show.
Okay. Does he at least live in a slightly nicer car now?
He does have he's got a pickup now, so he's got open air living.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. That's very, wow. First off, say thanks to Nick. The song was very touching. I am going to play it as we get closer to the end of the show because it's super funny. I had to see the video. So much production went into that video that Steven Spielberg's crew will want to see it as well.
The video is just Nick staring at a picture of Bob.
That's right.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Jody. I miss you.
I miss you. How are you?
Excellent.
Oh, everybody used to work with everybody here, right?
Yeah, Steve and I used to work together. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, and Bob, you've been here longer than me, but it is, you know, you and I both we're basically born in New England, and of course the atmosphere of competition so much different than the collaborative atmosphere here in the Pacific Northwest. This is what I found so amazing, and I think why it was very easy for you and I to be friends in the same town, working in the same business. It just seems like Seattle's all about that. It's about more than the art than it is about competition.
It is. And at the end of the day, people who live here because of here. They live here because of how beautiful it is and how they can have wonderful relationships here. And it's a great place to raise your family. By the way, when I moved to Seattle, I remember this like it was yesterday. It's 26 or so years ago. Someone said to me, oh, don't move to Seattle. And I said, why? They said, you'll get stuck there. People go there, and it's like flypaper. They can't get away. And I said, well, that doesn't sound so bad. They must like it there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When people get stuck there, wow, maybe it's not they're stuck there. Maybe they choose to stay there.
Right. Maybe. You mean I'll miss out on bouncing to Detroit and Cleveland and Miami? And yeah, nothing against Miami. I have friends. But you know, these are horrible
holes. You can be against Miami. Miami's terrible.
Miami sucks.
Yeah.
So, all right. We don't like Miami right now.
You know what? Yeah, I don't know if it's a good idea having Steven joke. I don't know if they bring out the best in each other.
We never did.
So make us separate you two again.
He's so dumb.
So we did joke, by the way, that people are only being, BJ, people are only being nice to me because there's audience up for grabs, and you all are flying around like crows.
You know the many times we've gotten together, and I've said, you know, I've said to you many times, if you ever leave, I'm going to be the first buzzard in.
That's right.
So yeah, it you know, and for me, Bob, as you said, and a lot of people, you know, don't know it as well, but I mean, you and I became such good friends almost, I would say, pretty much 25 to 27 years ago when we met at a convention.
That's right.
And you have been an amazing supporter of me. People, they just don't know that I would not have anything in this business if not for you sticking your neck out multiple times when people said you were crazy to think that, you know, you would even say you knew me, let alone advocate for me. And I can't ever thank you and your family, who have been great to me, enough, which is why this is a sad time for me, because I told everybody, I just can't imagine our business being without you. I mean, Seattle doesn't, when a city has a great, great talent like you and Dave Ross, when they've got people like that, they don't realize they're national treasures as well, because, well, you're in their town, it's their town, they don't know your reach beyond Seattle. But our business is just not going to be the same without you.
That's all you got?
Why'd you say something nice to the guy? He's retiring me, right?
Actually, people always say that I interrupt. I would like to point out, I was not interrupting
that's
at all.
That's weird. Yeah. Let that go on and on.
Why interrupt somebody when they're saying you're a good dude? There's no reason.
That's very kind of you, BJ. It goes both ways, folks. I, early on, very much into production, into being a good, gracious host. And when I met BJ, he said, how come you're so nice all the time? He said, people really like you to, you know, because he would listen to me and he would say, I was always trying to make sure everybody agreed on everything. And he said, you know, people want a little tension. And he apparently had extra tension.
Yeah, sure did.
That he could pass some of it on to me.
Yeah.
And I noticed that not only he had so much tension, it got him fired everywhere he went.
So, true.
So I said, if I could take 20 or 30% of that, you know, feistiness from you. And we really were a great couple, you and I. And I miss the sex.
Well, and I will tell you, the feeling is mutual. And on the other side of it, you know, I was good at tension, and you told me, you know, tension that you do is good on air, but when you have tension off air and everybody hates you in the hallways, that's not a good thing either. And that's what you taught me. You taught me actually how to be a good employee. And that's very, very true. I mean, I would not be here today. I would not have the company telling me nice things if not for you, because I was never that guy. I was the employee that they wished they could fire, and a lot, like as you said, a lot of times that did happen.
Be like, how long is left on his contract? Who cares? Blow him out today.
Yeah, I was very unlikable, and you were super likable. And yeah, our friendship, you know, you talk about a great marriage. It was opposites attract, and I believe we made each other so much better. Or at least I know you made me better. I think you were great long before I came along. Mm-hmm. So I know you made me better.
All right. So hey, listen. People keep asking me like, what are you really going to do? I got to say a couple of things. First off, in the song, it says I'm retiring. I said this to my boss before it happened. I said, Keith, I'm saying I'm stepping aside from this microphone. I'm concluding this 25-year project. And everybody's going to say I'm retiring, even though I'm not retiring. And so, and sure enough, every paper headline, retire. And so now it's going to make that little bee shop and lemonade stand and podcast I'm doing look like nobody's going to pay attention to.
That's weird, because normally lots of people would pay attention to
course,
a bee shop
and a lemonade stand. But I did want to say just officially that I'm not retiring. In fact, I was thinking the other day, I really am. I someone came up to me and said, is this whole thing a radio stunt? And Monday the show will be back on and everything will be exactly the same. And it'll be like, ha ha.
Oh, like a going out of business sale.
Yeah, because you know those rug places that
sure
used to go out of business?
For 19 years.
My wife would say, we have to get in there. Sunday is the last day. And then the following week, the rug store would be open and they'd have a new going out of business date. And I thought, that's a great idea.
It's a fantastic idea.
And we're getting a huge free ad right
now. And we'll
now
be back next
on
Monday.
On our old station.
But that's no. Awesome.
Bob, here's the real thing. When the opportunity came up to have you on the show today, and you know, I didn't want to push it on you, because I know that, you know, we work for companies. Companies have their own rules and regulations about what goes on. But I will tell you this, even though you have me on your airwaves, and I'm glad that you do, but that wasn't the necessary thing. I wanted you here because I'm a real big believer in, you know, what somebody has done for a radio station. And KISW is a great station, and one of the reasons why it is because of you and your legacy. You created some great radio to this station that added to its great history. And both of you and I both grew up in a town that had a great rock station like KISW in the Boston area, and we know what those personalities meant to that station. And I look at you as a guy that meant so much to the history of the station I'm on. And I tell everybody, I'm very honored to work on the station that Bob Rivers created such great radio on. I'm happy to have you here on your last week of doing at least this part of your career, because I think it's important to the history of KISW for you to be able to be here on that week.
How do you like your lemonade?
With a full finish, apparently.
With a full finish, yeah.
I mean, the same thing goes for Spike and, of course, Joe. You guys created such great radio on this station, as well as any place else you've worked, but it just felt fitting that you get to be on these airwaves.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, can I put you down as a reference, by the way? I'm funding my resume.
Spike, you know, dude, you and I actually were the ones that came up with the first friendship. Before I even really befriended Bob, Spike and I were both sidekicks, basically. We were the same dude, just, you know, had the same job description. And, Spike, I got a lot of love for you, too, man. You know what? You're one of the best in our biz, brother.
All right. Thank you, bro. And hey, how about a shout-out to our audiences? The people listening are really what make a show. You know, we have a ratings services, and they measure numbers. They just measure numbers. They don't measure the quality of the people. They don't measure how caring they are. They don't measure what they do, you know, charitably. They don't measure how they think and how they love. But I happen to believe that we have the kind of audiences that are treasures to our advertisers. Got to thank our sponsors, too, because they're the kind of audiences that respond and care. And you have that, BJ, too. And a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that people, you know, might be driving by listening to. But you're right. When something makes a difference in someone's life, it's a privilege. It's actually a real honor. So thank you, my friend.
Yeah, my pleasure, bro. And you look, we could stay on for hours doing this.
Both of our bosses would be very upset if we did that, you know.
I'll need a shower.
But you know, man, dude, you know. And thanks so much for just letting me basically hang around with you, let alone everything else you've done. If I just got to hang around with you and you did nothing else, that would have been good enough.
Are you guys going to boot camp in Chicago this week, BJ?
Yeah, I am, and it's funny, Bob. I have to do the opening speech this year, and it's going to be a whole different experience than I expected when they asked me to do that a few months ago, because this news you announced. I'm glad I'm going to do the opening speech, because I'm the one that probably knows you, I would imagine, the best out of anybody that goes to those conventions outside of the folks you work with. And believe me, man, that's going to be tough.
Well, here's the thing. If you just play that video to open it, it'll set the tone.
Yeah, that'll do the trick.
and can I send some air checks with you, BJ? I can't be there, but I could use somebody to pass out some air checks for me.
Yeah, Spike and Joe have resumes and
need,
air checks.
Buddy, whatever you need.
All right.
One of my favorite morning show convention experiences was hanging out with Joe when we went and saw Green Day.
Oh, that was awesome, wasn't it, in Nashville?
I got really drunk, and I was a little touchy-feely on you, but I really had a good time.
Oh, that was a blast.
My favorite was filming that between you two, and the video's for sale.
All right. BJ Shea, longtime friend, good guy. Thank you so much, BJ. I really appreciate all your words, actually, and totally on a very serious note. All the best to you, sir.
And right back at you. And you know, listen, I'll always give you a good advertising deal for your lemonade stand. You know that.
I'm not counting on that. I hope to be a guest. Hey, Steve, better take my call.
Yeah, BJ Shea here for a mouthful of sour.
Case it with some of Bob's honey, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, Steve.
All right.
Bye, guys.
That was nice.
Very nice.
Come on, that was nice.
You said some very, I don't know how to take things like that.
I know. But it is interesting that you do not interrupt when
people are talking.
You don't hear this guy going, let me get a word in. Let me just say something else.
Some of it is, I would, but some of it is, I'm a little weird this week.
Yeah.
Like last week was just fun because I could still say, oh, it's far away.
Yeah.
This week I might get a little weird.
Oh, I know.
Well, this is the countdown now. I mean, we're 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mm. That's it.
Yeah. Anything that has to be said this week.
That's right. Listeners, if you want to call, you can reach us at 877-901-0957.
This is the Bob Rivers Show on 95.7 KJR.
Another warm summer day around western Washington with high temperatures in the 80s. Skies will stay generally clear through the next several days all the way through the weekend with slightly cooler temperatures occurring each day. I'm Keisha Burns in the King 5 Weather Center.
This report is brought to you by Snoqualmie Casino. Just minutes from Seattle is a place that will surprise and captivate you, where the air seems to change, and with it, so do the possibilities. Snoqualmie Casino is Seattle's closest casino, just off I-90 at exit 27. See Deep Purple, Sunday, August 10th. For tickets and information, go to snowcasino.com.
You know, this weekend I did something I never thought I would do. I got in a pool and swam at a swim meet competitively against other adults. And I didn't need help getting out of the pool. I got out of the pool all by myself. That was my goal, was to get in and not need to be rescued. And I couldn't have said that last year because I was literally 50 pounds bigger than I am right now. And that's thanks to my friends at 3010 Weight Loss. 3010 Weight Loss for life.
They're great folks who have a great plan that can help you lose weight, and they've helped me. They've helped Joe, Bob, everybody I love has gotten in 3010 Weight Loss and changed their lives. They've got offices in Silverdale, Kent, Bellevue, and now Everett. Or you can check them out online, 3010weightlossforlife.com. What you'll see when you go in there is an honest look at where you are in your life, where you could be, how much weight you probably would be better off if you lose this. You'll live longer. You'll feel better. They'll put you on a plan. They'll give you a tape to listen to every week to kind of give you a different way to look at food. You'll never feel hungry. You'll always feel better. 3010weightlossforlife.com or at 855-843-3010.
The Emerald Queen Casino. Welcome Saturday, August 16th. America's top stand-up comedian. There's only one Sinbad.
And back then, candy was Kent. Wasn't no gum in the middle of a jawbreaker. It was a rock with some candy around.
Tickets for Sinbad now at Ticketmaster or the Emerald Queen Casino.
Once you have kids, they make you lose your mind.
A night of big laughs. Spend it with Sinbad. Saturday, August 16th. Exclusively at the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
University of Phoenix versus Take My Word for It.
Hey, Ted.
Yeah, boss.
How do I know you can handle this new role?
Take my word for it.
At University of Phoenix's School of Business, we make sure you can give more than just your word. Earn business certificates to show you have the skills to impact your career now, before you graduate. Learn more at phoenix.edu. University of Phoenix. Let's get to work.
Sit back, relax, and let Clipper Vacations whisk through scenic waterways to amazing Northwest adventures, like beautiful Victoria, BC. Clipper day trips from just $99. Or experience a fun one-day trip to see orca whales in the San Juan Islands. Details and kit discounts at clippervacations.com.
We are delighted to be bringing professional women's sports back to
Seattle. Storm Select, Sue Bird.
Seattle, you have a champion once again!
Lauren Jackson, MVP of WNBA Finals.
Pick and roll with Crystal Tanner. Step through, move it, a beauty. Kisses it.
August 7th is Thirsty Thursday at Key Arena. Join us for happy hour from 5:30 to 6:30 before the Storm takes on Shoney Schimmel and the Atlanta Dream. Live music, $3 Manny's and Coors Light. Get your tickets today at stormbasketball.com.
Hey, it's Elise Woodward with Daniel Weldon, team events coordinator for Brooks and BrooksRunning.com. For those just getting into running, what is the key to getting started on the right note?
I would start off with some hill workouts. They help develop your strength and your speed as well as your aerobic capacity. Slowly incorporate them into everyday runs and then beginning adding specific hill workouts into your weekly routine.
For those that maybe have already gone through the beginning stage and they want to ramp up their intensity, what do they do next?
Jump on the track. Track workouts are a great way to sharpen that racing sword. They're a good measuring stick and help you work on pace. Start with one or two laps of increased effort to get your baseline for your fitness level.
All right, motivation is usually a problem for most. I know for me, but running with someone else can help you. I know you mentioned some clubs to me earlier that people can join that'll help them.
Yeah, we got a lot of local club options to choose from here in the Pacific Northwest. There's Club Northwest, Seattle Running Company, Tacoma City Running Club, Run Chuck It, and many more options.
For more information, go to brooksrunning.com, and they remind you to always run happy.
The CW11 language system will change your life. You'll be speaking fluent Seinfeld with confidence, using simple phrases like yada, 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 yo, yo, ma, he's a bad breaker-upper. Seinfeld, lesson one, let's begin. Make sure you answer aloud when prompted. How would you say she has very large hands?
She had man hands.
Very good. Now, how do you say there's so much more to that story?
Yada, 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 I'm still single.
Now, speaking in Seinfeld, say, let's go.
Giddy up.
Did your pronunciation sound like the speaker? Well, congratulations.
That is amazing!
Who knew that speaking Seinfeld could be so easy?
Finally, my stupidity pays off!
If you found the lesson difficult, return to the beginning and start again. Or better yet, watch Seinfeld every weeknight at 10 and 10:30 on CW 11.
Giddy up!
Hi, I'm Bruce Brandler, CEO of Schicksiedel Hospital. After running hospitals and healthcare organizations for 30 years, I came to Schick a year ago, and I'm incredibly impressed with its remarkable program. I would often hear the Schicksiedel ads, and I was a skeptic that it couldn't work in only 10 days. Now, I'm a firm believer that it indeed works to stop cravings and give patients their lives back. Schick is very different than the traditional program for alcohol and drugs that uses talk therapy, and every day I talk with patients who've come to us after failing those programs. Instead, we use a powerful behavior modification medical program that has been successful with over 65,000 patients. How successful are we? Former patients are a top referral source for us, and that would not be the case if we were ineffective. Financing is available, and we accept most insurance. So if you're serious about your recovery, I urge you to call us now at 1-800-CRAVING or see us online at schickshadel.com. In 10 days, we'll give you back your life.
This report is brought to you by Fred Meyer.
From the Western Washington Honda Dealers Traffic Center, we're dealing with a pretty nice drive at the moment. We got some slow traffic northbound 405 through the S-curves up into the Kennedale Hill. It looks like on the Maple Valley Highway, we do have an incident in the southbound direction near 231st. Sounds like the right lane is blocked there. I-5 southbound, still pretty slow through Linwood.
Are you 55 or older? If so, you can save an extra 10% at Fred Meyer on the first Tuesday of every month. Just ask your cashier for the senior discount to enjoy extra savings in every department. What's on your list today?
We're back to the Bob Rivers Show on 95.7 KJR, powered by the Carter Subaru Live Theater.
Here's another lost, twisted tune from the vault.
Stuck inside these cave walls, hiding for the winter. Time is no fun.
Good job.
Nice again.
Tasty most of all.
We're screwed. Oh, summer. Screwed.
Oh, summer. I've got the most about for you.
Get out of here. If he ever gets out of there. Well, the bombs exploded with a mighty crash as we shouted, "Holy dawn!"
Holy dawn.
And the first one fled, and the second one said, "Looks like Bin Laden's done." Taliban on the run. They banned all the fun. But Afghanistan and Uncle Sam will make it safe once more. Taliban's on the run. Burka's come undone. Bin Laden's got the runs.
All right. Taliban on the
run.
Here's another twisted tune about a legend in Seattle radio, Pat O'Day.
And bless the seafarer and all the hydro boats that'll be there. Thank you for the legend, Pat O'Day. Lord, we pray, God, that you would just help folks remember what he's meant to this sport.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thankful for all of your blessings on our lives. We ask you to be with the good folks here in Seattle. Bless Seafair.
Paddle-dee, 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 amen. Paddle-dee, 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 amen. Bless the hydros and keep them upright. Paddle-dee, 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 amen.
Bless all the hydroplanes that will be there. Lord, we pray for protection for the drivers as they strap themselves into those powerful boats. We pray for all the folks out on the log boom who are drinking way too much. Send them home safely and then send them to Shake Shadle if you don't mind.
Paddle-dee, 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 amen. Paddle-dee, 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 amen. Bless the hydros and keep them upright. Paddle-dee, 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 amen.
amen.
And I thank you for listening.
7:42, and in the studio with us, a name more closely associated with the call letters KJR than anyone. It's Pat O'Day. In the 1960s, Pat put KJR on the map and made music history at the same time by playing the music and promoting concerts. And he didn't even have to do payola because he was both industries. He was the concert promoter and the radio owner. Miraculously, all of his shows got lots of airplay. He had groups in town like, oh, I don't know, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Jimi Hendrix. If people caught fish at Edgewater from their balcony, they had to give 1/10 of their fish to Pat O'Day. That's how big he was in this town. He got 10% of everything. We don't know what 95.7 KJR will morph into at 10 a.m. this Friday, but we do know that KJR has been one of the most powerful and respected sets of call letters in the United States of Earth, in large part because of the work that was done here by my friend Pat O'Day.
Oh, you humbled me. Good morning, Bob.
It's about time someone else got all these compliments.
Oh, hey. Golly. You know, you have been just a monster in a sequence of mourning people on the radio in Seattle over the years, and you've maintained the tradition of greatness in those early morning hours on KJR. There was, going way back, and I do go way back, there was a guy named Dick Stokey, and then there was Lan Roberts, mm-hmm. Just one of the great entertainers on the radio of all time. And then there was Charlie Brown.
I remember Charlie,
and
yeah. Emperor, where's he now?
Emperor, he lives on Bainbridge
He's
Island.
Quietly enjoying his...
Vegetating over there. Yeah. There was Emperor Smith. You've heard that name. He was a disc jockey in Spokane, and he was coming to Seattle, and Lan had left me and had gone over to KOL, the competitor. You know, I couldn't believe it, but I wouldn't let him smoke joints in the control room.
Back then, the times are different now. You'd have a joint dispenser if you were a program director today.
So I had to make this guy, whose name was Lee Smith, famous immediately. So we had an election, and it was either you vote for Lee Smith as emperor, or you vote for his opponent.
And this is how Saddam Hussein got to power.
Exactly.
Yeah, a mock election.
Yeah. We opened up the phone lines for 24 hours, and the voting went on. And sure enough, Lee Smith defeated his opponent, became the emperor of Seattle.
You know, I've heard of morning mayor. I've heard of things like that. But you went right for emperor, didn't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pat O'Day was not going to bother being a morning mayor for somebody.
Then later there
was... You were the program director at that time?
Yes. Wow. Well, I was program director, general manager, I mean, the whole thing. Mm. Then came Gary Lockwood. And then there was a pause in morning greatness till came Bob Rivers. What a job you have done.
Now, I want to give you as much time as you need here.
No, but you've just intertwined yourself in the heart and soul of our community. Think about the things that have happened just during the years that you've been on the air in Seattle. You know, there was no Amazon.
I started that.
That's
right.
Microsoft was barely going.
I helped them along.
Yeah.
During the years I've been on the air and been around, I saw the creation of I-5. He used to be just old 99.
Is that right? Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
90 used to not go through North Bend.
That's right. I celebrated the completion of the Space Needle on the air.
Wow.
Way back. But anyway.
It has been, by the way, that's so like you to think of the people first, because that's why you were a great programmer. What has happened in Seattle in the last 25 years, it has become a treasure in the world, a treasure of intellectual innovation, a treasure of arts, a treasure of compassion. Think about how progressive, I know you're kind of a conservative guy in a sense, but, you know, personal progressive love for one another that people have is an amazing thing. And this area is one of the nicest places in the world.
We're a fascinating combination of people. You see, people came from all over the United States, departing the Midwest, departing the big manufacturing mm-hmm. cities, be it from Pittsburgh or Atlanta or wherever. And they have clustered here in Seattle, bringing all of their traditions, their feelings, their families, their nationalities, their races, And we have just become, we're better than San Francisco.
We're better than everybody else. Yeah, that's what makes us so humble.
San Francisco ricocheted off in some strange direction. But Seattle is that melting pot of perfection of people.
And Seattle is
How do you like that?
That's fabulous. Beautiful.
It's where the most adventurous people go because it's kind of where you run out of room. I mean, they're going to stop you at the Canadian border.
Yeah, you don't want to be Canadian.
Yeah, unless you want to live in Nea Bay. This is the last stop when you're heading north and heading west.
All right. So
anyway, this Bob, let me say one thing. Yeah. This today or this week, this is the personification of good news and bad news. The good news is Marshawn Lynch is back.
That's right.
The bad news is you're saying goodbye. And that's a loss to our community. I know it isn't to you. You're on to bigger and better things. But Seattle will not be better because Bob Rivers left KJR 95.7.
Thank you for that. And by the way, that's the hard part for me. That's the thing I have no answer for is people who come up to me. Because I don't really realize they're out there. Like when I go,
I know.
When I go to a place like the Stanwood Community Fair, and afterwards there's a whole bunch of people, and they're like, "Don't go," and they say, "Like, what am I going to do in my car?" And I think, "Well, there's like 10,000 channels now," but they go, "No, you're my morning," and then I feel terrible, and I change my mind. But then I change it back again.
My wife is so concerned and upset that you're leaving. She has a friend, Paulette Clayton, and they were talking, and they can't believe life without you in the morning. You know, I said, well, there's me. No, that doesn't work.
Hey, are you coming back?
10 a.m., August 8th.
Come on, you're going to live to be 150. You might as well do another 20 years
I come back every day.
You owe it to the city.
My wife says when I open the refrigerator door and the light comes on, I do a half an hour.
How did it go, Pat, when you left KJR? Did they give you a couple weeks to say goodbye, or do you remember your last days on the Mighty 950?
I got to tell you what happened. I'll be real fast. I was planning on leaving KJR. My Concerts West company was growing so fast, and the GM and I weren't making music together anymore, and I was going to leave. So Danny Kaye, who was the owner along with Lester Smith, I gave him a letter of resignation. They said, we want you to come on to Los Angeles and let's have a meeting. I came back the general manager of KJR and KISW that day. A shock to me.
Yeah,
and
so you didn't leave. You tried to leave.
I tried to leave.
I tried to leave, and they said, yeah, can we help you? Can say goodbye for 2 weeks. And August 8th, give us your keys. No, they've been very nice.
I never had a last day on the air as a result, but I did some vacation
release. So I have a question for you, though. You, over the years, and I know you've told these stories many times, and you have a book out, which we should post today. It's all just rock and roll.
It was all just rock and roll.
I read the book and was fascinated. I mean, what was it like to bring the Beatles to Seattle? Does that phone, first off, you start with a phone call? Do you know they're coming to town? You're the concert promoter, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I take you back. Those things were happening, and they were just part of what you did every day.
So it didn't seem that. It didn't seem that momentous to you.
This is the most exciting act we've brought in. You know, the tickets go bingo.
These guys are really big shoe in Britain, and they're coming. Now, how long, when they came to the U.S. and they did the Ed Sullivan Show, how long before they got all the way to Seattle? Do you remember?
Well, they got to Seattle in August of 64.
Okay.
And so it was several months. By the way, Seattle was the first town, and KJR was the first station to actually, in the U.S., play a Beatles record.
Do you remember which one? Was it I Want to Hold Your Hand?
Yeah, Please Please Me.
Or Please Please Me.
Yeah, the VJ record. That was long before they signed with Capitol Records. And
when the Beatles came to town, did they have anything interesting on their rider? You would have seen their rider, right? Like these days, people request Perrier. It didn't even exist backstage.
No, it was simplicity in those days.
What did the Beatles want backstage?
Soft drinks. And
wasn't that 20 birds? You brought pigeons, and they were really upset. The English word for birds.
It was long before Elton John used to have 5 cases of Dom Perignon backstage.
No kid, 5 cases?
Oh, yeah. Well, they would drink the 1 case, and then he'd put the other case in the plane. And
take it with them.
Christmas presents.
Wow.
Re-gift.
I did take some bottled water from a backstage recently. I said, can I put this in the band's rehearsal room? But that's not Dom Perignon.
Yeah, you ask an interesting question. And here in those days, you know, I was on an airplane with Jimi Hendrix and on the road with Led Zeppelin, and we were handling Elvis. And at that time, you don't really realize the significance.
It's just the people that happen to be famous now.
Yeah, and now I look back and go, oh, my God, you know, that happened to me. And you look back on your career, you know.
Oh, we're going through some of the amazing recordings that superstars have done in my garage.
Yes.
And Twisted Tunes that we did, but we only played for a week because it was a news story and it's gone. And it's bringing back a flood of memories. But back to you. Who asked for the craziest thing backstage in all your years promoting concerts?
The craziest thing?
Who were you most worried about? I got to keep these people under control. Or maybe they did something, and I got to make sure it doesn't get out, at least until 2014.
Led Zeppelin could be tough because of Bonham and Peter Grant, their manager, because Bonham would get himself on the outside of a bunch of Jack Daniels before he even got to the auditorium, and you know, who knew what was going to happen. But other than that...
And you were doing it with him back then, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, are you kidding me? I mean, at the end of the show, you go back to the hotel and the cocaine on the table looks like Mount Hood. You know, you don't want to be rude. You want to have your share.
You have to partake. By the way, that is something I have to say this.
Host.
That is something that's new because you're very, by the way, Pat, although he went through addiction and all of that, and although he championed and was responsible for probably so many people's sobriety with Schick Shadle, you've always been humble. Like, you don't tell your drunkalogs a whole lot because you're really kind of a polite guy. And you come, like I do with my mom, from a more polite time where you can say, yeah, I did a lot of crap, but you don't necessarily want to brag about it.
Right.
But when you introduced the idea that Schick Shadle could help people to get over cocaine abuse, Spike went off. I don't know if you heard about this, but he went off on the radio as your alter ego, which is, as he sometimes does. And Schick Shadle, I think, got a little upset because they don't know our long-term history, I don't think.
Well, people are very protective of, you know, they're hospital people.
But we do have Spike, so he can say the stuff that you don't want to necessarily say because you're so polite.
There was a bit of a ruckus over Spike's thing.
Yeah, there always is. But like Bob's saying, and I really appreciate this opportunity, are you familiar, you of course would be, of Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy?
Sure.
The dummy that sat on his knee and said the things that Edgar Bergen wanted to say.
Yeah.
Well, think of me as your dummy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if there's something you'd like to say to the city of Seattle.
But he couldn't because he's too polite.
Because you're Pat O'Day.
Yeah.
He's a
legend. He can't speak up about
me,
that
I'm
stuff.
Just a wooden dummy.
Yeah, well, the people.
Who's comfortable having someone's hand up my hand.
Yeah, the concern with the people of the hospital, of course, are medically involved. They're deeply committed. And
well, they're saving people's lives.
Yes.
They think that's very serious, and it is very serious.
I look at it a little differently, though, and that is they're just ordinary people. Everybody drinks. Some people can, some people can't, you know, and get away with it. And so,
well, anyway,
hooked,
I heard you stood up for us creatively.
I did, yes,
and I wanted to say thank you.
Well, you guys have meant a lot to me. You've also meant a lot to the hospital. But most of all, you've meant a lot to your city. As
we can funnel drunks and addicts better than any other show. Let's face it.
We're like an
on-ramp. Can funnel them to wherever. Yeah. We can funnel them to 12 Steps. We can funnel them to Schick Shadle. I asked you about the 12 Steps once because you did a commercial where you said, that's for whiny, sniveling...
Quitter.
You
know, nobody likes a quitter.
And so, and Pat then invited me over to his house, and I said, I'm a whiny, snivelly quitter. And he smiled, and he was like, well, you know, it's a commercial, you know. But it doesn't matter how someone gets sober, right?
No, it doesn't.
You can do it on your own or in the basement of a church or at Schick Shadle. It doesn't really
just
matter.
Just as long as you do it. Mm. You know, and the New England Journal of Medicine says if you're a daily consistent drinker, if you'll quit by the time you're 50, you add 10 years to your life expectancy. Mm. You know, there's a reason in Russia that life expectancy is 17 years less than in the United States. And that's
is that
because,
alcohol?
Yeah. They're drinking themselves. It's no wonder communism works so well. They kept them drunk on vodka, you know. But we were talking about the Beatles on the 23rd of August at the McCall Hall. We have a show called Get Back, and we're going to have Beatle bands there and celebrating because it's been exactly 50 years since the Beatles' visit to Seattle. That first visit, and that's going to be a fun afternoon, a fun show. The tickets
Thinking back also to another legend that you knew well, do you ever wish that Chick Shadle was around for Jimi Hendrix? What a difference the whole rock world. What would have happened?
Well, Jimmy, bless his heart, didn't drink all that much, but when he did, he would hit it pretty good. Mm. That particular night, he'd had dinner, and Jimmy had trouble sleeping, and he took some sleeping pills and had a little scotch, and during the night he started to choke, and he made it halfway to the bathroom before he collapsed. Mm. And
so it really was kind of a freak accident.
It was.
So it's not a John Bonham situation with him.
No, not
It's more
all.
Like acid reflux gone horribly bad.
Got to tell you something strange. Mm. So now it's 3 days after his death, and Al Hendrix, his dad, calls me. He says, "Pat, what have you heard about Jimmy? You know, what's going on?" I said, "Haven't you heard anything?" He says, "No." I said, "Well, I'll check it out." Well, it turns out that his managers had panicked and left town, Chandler and Jeffries. They weren't anywhere to be found. We called the record company and said, "Well, what are we doing about this?" And they said, "Well, you know, we got a little problem. There's litigation going on over some things, publishing and so on, and we're just kind of keeping an arm's length at this time."
Wait a minute. His dad didn't know what was happening afterwards?
What was happening.
Okay. He knew that Jimmy had died.
Right. Okay. We called London, and Jimmy was still in the morgue. Okay. So we sent, Tom Hewlett, my Concerts West guy, went to London. We claimed the body, bought a casket.
You had to do that.
Shipped Jimmy back to Seattle. Mm. There was no money. Nobody would put out a dollar.
The record company wouldn't pay for that?
No.
No, because he stopped producing. Well, wait a minute. I thought you sold more records after you died. They should have lavished him with, they should have given him a Dom Perignon in anything.
We bought the gravesite in Renton and paid for the funeral. Now, we were glad to do that because Jimmy had meant so much to our company and he was such a precious guy.
How odd, though, because the record company stands to make massive profits.
Yeah.
The concert business, your profits ended when his life ended, and you stepped up and did that.
Tells you a little bit about the quality of the people in some industries.
Yeah, some industries. Anyway. I don't want to.
Well, Bob, listen.
Hey, by the way, speaking of that, we're about to interview Graham Nash, so we do have to wrap it up quickly. So I do want to have Spike, if he could, tell you as you how much you have meant to you.
What?
This is not just about
a little certain.